If you're not, you're very welcome. We're delighted that you've come to join us here in Melbourne to speak to the CMDFA Graduate Conference. And I'd like to just ask some questions. So let me see what's down here. Can you tell us something about your faith background?
Yes.
Thank you.
Most of the Shahs would come from a Jain background. You know, Jainism is like Buddhism. It predates Buddhism by about 50 years. And I grew up in a very orthodox Jain family. And then I was sent to the university in a college called the Loyola College. And in that college, because Mahatma Gandhi had prescribed reading of the Sermon on the Mount, I managed to get the Sermon on the Mount from a Catholic priest, and I read it, and that was the beginning of an introduction to, you know, to the Bible and to Christian things.
That's very good. And can you tell us about your current responsibilities?
I'm a pediatric surgeon by training, but I have worked in secondary care hospitals most of my life. And then I decided to come back to the institute where I was trained, which is the Christian Medical College, Vellore. And I started the Department of Distance Education and Telemedicine, and began e-learning programs and so on. And then currently, I'm the head of I think the official title is Chief Executive Officer of ICMDA, International Christian Medical and Dental Association. And the office is in Vellore itself, in South India.
Thanks, Vinod. And could you kindly also share with us something about your family?
I have a wife and we have three children. My wife is a pediatrician. She was always very interested in missions, so we were very involved in it together. She's retired now, and we live in Vellore, but all our children are independent. My daughter lives in Shanghai. She's a businesswoman. And two of my sons, each of them live in, one of them in Vancouver in Canada, and the other one in Seattle in the US, and both of them are business and information technology and so on.
No. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to getting to know you more over the next couple of days, and we now look forward to the presentation tonight.
Thank
you. Just an update. The prayer meeting tomorrow will be in room 6. And the rural breakfast will be in room 7 upstairs. And I'm just clarifying that unfortunately there's no cup of tea immediately after this event. There are locations along the Elizabeth Street where there will be that opportunity.
As you can imagine, because I live in India, I have many Hindu friends and Muslim friends and Jain and some Buddhists and also some skeptical Christian friends. And one of the questions they often ask me is, why do you keep talking about Christian medicine? how can medicine be Christian? Medicine can be good or bad, but how can it be Christian? A computer can be good or bad, but how can you have a Christian computer or a Christian ampicillin injection? So it's a good question, and a question that needs answering. And I think one of the first things about Christian medical work is a sense of vocation. And I like this quotation. I have a part in God's great work of redemption. I am a link in a chain. He has not created me for naught. It's very clear that a vocation is found in falling in line with God's plan. It's not something that you sort of do for yourself. And the way I try and help people understand vocation, I have a classification that I find useful. I call it the narrative, the meta-narrative, and the grand narrative understanding of vocation. When you call, when you have a group of medical students or young doctors, and you ask them, you know, what is your vision, what do you want to do, what is your vocation or calling? And they might say, I want to be a great anesthetist, or I want to become a doctor and support my family. Or they might say, you know, I don't want to think about those things, I want to pass my exams and I'll think about a vision later on. And these are responses to the what question. You know, what do you want to do? And they give you these responses. And I think this is a small story. It is a small story because it's all related to me. You know, I want to do this. I want to be an anesthetist. I want to feed my family. I want to do well. You know, they are all about me. They're all necessary. Mind you, they're not wrong. But if you don't move beyond it, then that is very stunting. But I call this the narrative understanding. You know, a story. But a small story. And then you might find other responses. There will be people who will say, I want to make a difference. I want to work towards eliminating poverty in this particular community. Or they might say, I want to do this for this community. Or I want to provide equitable health access so that the numbers of poor in this community are decreased. And now this has crossed the me boundary, and so it's grown bigger. And so I call this the meta-narrative understanding of vocation. Meta does not mean big, it means besides. And this is a story that is beyond the me, so this is a bigger story. And then you have the grand narrative. And here we are not talking about just making a difference in the world. We are talking about responding to a call of God Himself. I feel called of God to do this. Now that is the grand narrative or the mega narrative. So I have this way of helping people understand the sense of vocation. And I tell them that unless you move beyond the narrative, you really can't have a sense of vocation.